Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28, we'll read verses 7 through 14 together. 1 Samuel 28, verses 7 through 14. Then said Saul unto his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor." And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee." And the woman said unto him, "Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards, out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die?" And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing." Then said the woman, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stopped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Lord, we sure do need you. Lord, the weather's been good outside, and it's been pretty and nice, good change, and we're near the change of the seasons here, but Lord, you've been good to us here inside as well. Lord, you've brought us visitors today, you've brought folks back. Lord, your people are here, and they need something from you. God, I pray that you'd fill us with your power today. May we please you with what is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in 1 Samuel 28 is a very interesting story. If you will give me a few moments, I think I can help you. If you're a parent, I'll help you as you raise your children. If you're a husband or a wife, I'll help you in your relationship. If you're a boss or an employee, I can help you. King Saul has been running from God for about half of his time as king. Saul was king of Israel for 40 years, and almost half of that, Saul had been running from God. Saul didn't fall away from God late into his being king. He did it just at the midway point. Though Saul had many faults, though Saul was lifted up with pride, and I believe Saul was started as a good man, there was one quality about Saul that impresses me. He loved the preacher. Saul never got over his love for the prophet named Samuel. Saul loved Samuel. Even when Samuel had to get in Saul's face and tell him, "You had disobeyed God, and Saul, you're wrong, and God is wrenching the kingdom from you," Saul still loved Samuel. Samuel has passed away, and Saul got depressed. You see, he got so depressed that he decided he was going to go find the Bible uses the term a witch, and that is a person who believed in, and the Bible even uses this terminology, a familiar spirit, wizards, people that dealt with calling up the dead. And by the way, they cannot do it. They simply use the power of suggestion, but it is demonic and it is evil. He decided, there's a part of this story to me that's funny. You'll see it here in a moment. But he goes to this witch, but here's the problem. He had made a law a couple years before stating that if you were a witch or a wizard, that if you practiced that, that Saul would have you put to death. So many of them left where they just did it underground and didn't tell anybody. Saul says, I'm so depressed. I've got to hear from Samuel. I miss him so bad. I'm just going to go find somebody. And he said, I need you to find me somebody that could call up Samuel. And the servant said, don't you realize what you've done? He said, I did, but I'll make an exception. Sounds like politicians today. Now, let me make a statement here. The farther you get from God, the more the ridiculous things you will do. Let me tell you something. Some of you have done things in sin that you never thought you'd ever do. And the farther you get away from God, the more ridiculous the things that you'll do. Saul dresses down, disguises himself, and he goes to find this witch at a place called Endor at nighttime. By the way, that's when most evil is done, is at nighttime. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail today on this, but more evil, sin, debauchery, and wickedness is done in the dark than any time during the daylight hours. You go to the Vegas clubs, and you go to the strip clubs, and you go to all the bars. They're more active at night than they are during the day. They're dark places for a reason. Man thinks he can hide himself with no light. God sees through the darkness. This lady, not knowing it was Saul, says, look, even if I could, Saul made a law that says if I do help you, that I will be killed. This is part of the story I think is funny. Here he is talking to someone that deals with evil spirits, and he says, and Saul swear to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one, shall no punishment happen. He said, look, I'll make sure God does not punish you and that the king won't. I find that funny. That shows you how far away from God Saul was. I find the next part even more humorous. She says, all right, I'll help you. Who do you want me to call up? He said, I want you to call up the preacher, Samuel. Now, I find that humorous. I don't know about you. If you ever find me going to a fortune teller or a soothsayer to call up Brother Hiles, just mark it down, get rid of me. Yeah, buddy. That would be the equivalent of what Saul was doing here. Why go to the power of the devil to get a hold of the man of God? Why go through the devil to get a hold of God's man? She calls for Samuel, and to her dismay, she starts screaming. She couldn't believe it. She said, you must be the king. He said, why? What did you see? Who did you see? And she began to tell him she saw a man with a mantle. That mantle was the preacher's coat. He said, that's Samuel. And you see, these people only have the power of suggestion. They don't have the power to really call people up. I don't care how many TV shows you watch to where they call back the dead. They don't call back the dead. It's all done by power of suggestion, but God allows Samuel to speak to Saul. It's the only place in Scripture I find this. It was a unique situation, but I want you to notice something. Listen to this. Saul was so far away from God that he was willing to talk to the man of God versus going to God direct. He was willing to call back from the dead the preacher rather than facing God himself. Samuel actually tells Saul, not only has he departed from God, meaning Saul, but that God has become the enemy of Saul. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty stout statement. This witch is so afraid, she tells King Saul in verse number 12, she said, "Why hast thou deceived me? Why hast thou deceived me?" You see, she looked at the king, and by the way, he could have had her killed for that statement. But she said, "King, you've deceived me." I want you to notice that word, deceived. Seems that our whole world is based on deceit nowadays.
Yes, sir.
Governments, the news, advertising, Hollywood, TV, entertainment, and even churches and religion are now based on deception.
Right.
Nothing is real. Everything is ethereal. Everything is to make it appear as though it is something it is not. I've used this statement before. We hear the famous Hollywood Walk of Fame on Hollywood and Vine. If you have ever seen Hollywood and Vine, you are horribly disappointed. Say, what is it? It's a wide sidewalk where everybody sticks their cigarette butts and bubble gum on those famous stars. It is one of the trashiest places you've ever been to in your life, I promise you. The street people use it for their bathroom. It's that filthy. It's not this wonderful, beautiful place. They go in and power wash it every time. They got to put a new name there so that these rich people don't have to sit in filth. That's the only time it gets clean. You know, there's so much deceit out there that you just don't know who to trust. The popularity, listen to this statement, the popularity of witchcraft today is proof of that.
Yes.
By the way, parents, and if some of you get mad, at least I know you're listening. It would be a cold day where the booger man lives before I let my children read anything about Harry Potter.
Yes. Yes. Yes, amen.
It is witchcraft, it is wizardry, and it is wrong.
Yes.
It is demonic, it is filth. It is anti-God.
Yes, sir.
Just so you know. Oh, it's just false stuff. It's just exciting reading material. Folks, you go to the world and they'll tell you that Playboy and Hustler magazine is exciting reading. That doesn't make it right.
Yes.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Say, I don't think you ought to put those two things together. Well, that's where God puts it.
Yes.
Same in his book. Magic shows. Now, there's something interesting about being able to deceive people. I don't know what it is. I don't know why man is so attracted to deceit. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Ooh. Deceiving and being deceived. This sounds like our world today.
Yes,
folks, what's happening over in the Ukraine right now is deceit. I hate to tell you, but the Crimeans did not vote to become part of the Soviet Union. Have you heard the reports? They did their little straw polls as people were voting, and the ballots were already marked for Russia before they were put into the polling booths. That's why they got a 98% vote. Everybody doing okay? I want to teach you today on how not to be deceived and how not to be a deceiver. How not to be deceived and how not to be a deceiver. Number one, a deceiver is a person who tricks or causes someone to see or not see what is there or what is not there. In other words, they play games with your mind to see what is not there or to cause you not to see what is really there. The Bible says, and you don't need to turn there because I'm going to be flying through some scripture here, but in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 3, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Boy, there are people all over this room and all over this world that think they're something when they're nothing. You all know what I'm talking about? You know that person at work that thinks they're God's gift to the company and they mess everything up they touch? I'm going to get in trouble again. But they think they're hot snot on a silver platter and they're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Amen? Say, that's not really couth. I don't know what you call it. I can't spell couth, but I know what it is. Amen? Can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you what it's not. You'll get that by a slow freight. Ah, got it there, huh? A deceiver is a person who tricks or causes someone to see what's not there or causes them not to see what is really there. Saul was trying to appear not to be king so that he could get what he wanted. Can I tell you something? Why does the world try to appear to be a Christian without becoming saved? Well, we're going to try to live a good life. We will help the poor and we will do good deeds and we'll try to earn our way there. You can't earn your way there. Jesus already paid for it. You are trying to deceive yourself into believing that you can do something to get it. Guess what? You cannot. Let me ask you another question. Why do Christians try not to appear to be Christians? Why is it once you become a Christian that you don't want to look like, act like, talk like, and be like a Christian? Why is it that we have churches now, listen to me, in this city? Well, just come as you are. Come in your pajamas. We have a wet bar. You can even drink. And we got a playground for the kids to play in. And this is just come as you are. No, that's not what God said to do. Everybody doing all right? Well, we'll call it a church. Well, we'll just call it a community church. Because we don't want to be associated with any one mainline denomination. How about calling it Christ? Somebody recently asked me, what denomination are you? I said, Independent Baptist, and proud of it. And they said, is that like those radical Southern Baptists? I said, man, I am so radical that I call a Southern Baptist liberal. They said, oh, one of those. I said, you betcha, Chester. Got it. Now, wait a minute. Yeah. They said, you mean like Jerry Falwell? I said, Jerry Falwell ended up being a liberal in my book. They said, oh, you're that far? I said, I'm way past that. Why do we want to dress like the world? Hey, why do you think young people struggle in growing up in Christian homes? They want to look like the world. They want to, by the way, they want to bring the world's music into the church. Well, let's set up drums and electric guitars and all this garbage and we'll play the world's music with God's words to it and we can reach more people. No, you can't. No, you can't. You might have more people attend, but you're not going to reach them. See, God's music is to be different than the devil's music. Not just the words, the music. Folks, go back and research what the word rock and roll means. It's one of the most filthy terms on the face of this planet. Started back in the 1950s. Why would we want to use rock and roll to talk about the Rock of Ages and the Holy One of Israel? That, my friend, is wickedness at its highest form. Okay, I'm going to date myself here for those of you that grew up in the 70s. We got the chick track mentality. Say, what's wrong with the chick track? Anytime you got to bring the gospel into cartoon form just to get it out. By the way, they didn't even get the gospel right. Taught lordship salvation. Yes, sir. But more people will read a comic book than they will the gospel, then they're not ready to get saved. Say, how do you win people then? I give them a gospel tract, I open up my Bible, and I show them what the Bible says. If they won't receive what that says, why would they want to believe a cartoon? Everybody doing all right? I don't believe that you ought to go into the world and be like the world to reach the world. Get used to it. Here it comes. We're not going to the beaches dressing like the world undresses at the beaches to go soul winning. Matter of fact, we're not going to the beaches to go soul winning. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where they went from sand dune to sand dune taking the gospel. They went door to door. Everybody doing all right? Okay. They're deceitful. You have religions out there that are deceiving people. Oh, you can come and talk to this guy in the little telephone booth and pay him some money and tell him all the bad things you've done, and he can forgive your sins. He'll go to God for you and get your sins forgiven for you. Let me tell you, the guy you're talking to was a sinner too. He has no more power to get rid of your sin than you have. Jesus Christ paid for it, nobody else, and you have been deceived by religion. The devil has been good at hiding hooks in his bait so that Christians will swallow it. And get used to a term that I will use a lot. I'm getting sick and tired of fundamentalists following the California style of Christianity. You say, what does that mean, Brother Bush? I'll tell you what it means. We're taking old-time fundamental terminology and putting dead, dry, dusty, wicked things to it. And we're pulling things from parts of our groups that have died. We're incorporating them into that so that we appear to be old-fashioned, but we're as dead as they were 20 years ago. Yes, say, what are you talking about? Get ready. Some of it, here it comes. I'm talking about the sword of the Lord. You don't advertise for Pensacola Christian College, who's never been a Baptist college, and tell me that you're still right. I'm sorry. I'm against that. You follow the sword churches. They were dead 20 years ago. Where are they now? They have to attach themselves to something that's living because they're dead. They're parasites. Everybody doing all right? Okay. The devil is the great deceiver. Let me ask you a question. Do you act differently at church than you do at home? Quit being a deceiver. Do you have a different attitude at church than you do at home? Some of you had a big blow up on the way to church this morning, and you told your kids, now you get it right before you get out of this car. Hello. Now, Harry and Kathy, you didn't have long to get it right because it's only a quarter mile down the road, so you had to get it right quick, amen? Now, wait a minute. Do you talk differently at church than you do at work? Do you listen to things at work that you would not listen to at church? Do you listen to things at work that you would not listen to anywhere else? Hey, do you listen to things in your room or on your headphones or on your iPad or your iPhone or your iPod or wherever your eyes are at? Then you would want played in this church? Quit being a deceiver. Number two, a deceiver will use silliness or flattery to get what they want. A deceiver uses silliness or the word flattery to get what they want. Oh, the Bible says here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse number 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You know, false religion often uses fanciness, flattery, or fun to draw people away from the truth. The Catholic Church uses all the phylacteries and the fanciness and the gold and the silver and all of the dresses. Sorry, why you call him father and dress him like mama, I don't understand, but good night. We use all of this fanciness and formality to draw people away from the truth. Can you imagine the way I preach wearing a dress like that? It would be indecent exposure for sure. And there ain't no way I'm putting no dress on. You know, you've got the modern style of churches, and they've got to have the rock music, and they've got to have the programs for the children to where they're swinging off the rafters, and they're having all their little club time while the adults are sitting around the word, going deep in the word, and come up dry and dusty.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? Teenagers and boys and girls need preach that just as much as adults need preach that. Say, what is your junior church program like? Right now, Brother Stoltz is preaching on teaching the kids not to gossip so they don't turn out like mommies and daddies. Come back tonight. We'll hit that one. They want to flatter you with intelligence. Well, we've got to go deep into the word. We're going to spend the next 70 weeks going through the book of Daniel, and we're going to do it verse by verse. Gag. We're going to show you how intelligent the pastor is. Guess what? It won't take you long to figure out how unintelligent I am. But I will tell you this, you'll get good Bible preaching. I don't care how smart you think you are, you don't know as much about that book as I do. You say, that's cocky, that's arrogant. No, I've just spent more time with our God about it, and I've lived my whole life in that book, and it's my calling and my duty to know that book, and I will help you with that book.
Amen.
And what I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know, but I'll find it out.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff. Deceivers are likable people. Can I tell you something? There are some people out there that are very likable, but they're deceivers. I know people, I've talked to people that have met our current president. Every last one of them said, Brother Bush, he's really kind of a likable guy. Most of those politicians are likable. That's how they got in. That's what's so dangerous about them. Don't worry, I'm not going to the annual prayer breakfast for the White House. Can I tell you what the best program to help our United States government is? Soul winning.
Amen.
It's not going hobnobbing with all the fancy snots in D.C.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you know somebody that's been there and done that, that's fine. It's okay. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but I can tell you this. They'd spend their money better by staying home and investing that in soul winning, taking their time and reaching people for Christ, teaching them what the truth of the Word of God is, teaching them how to vote right and get those idiots out of there. You know, there are religious leaders that are nice people. I've never met the Pope. But I promise you this, I would not bend down and kiss his toe. If I was that close to it, I'd bite the stupid thing off. I wouldn't kiss it. And I ain't kissing nobody's toe. I'm not kissing anybody's ring. So many thoughts. You know, there's a lot of powerful people out there that you think are vile, wicked people that most people that know them think they're nice people. Donald Trump, to those that know Donald Trump, will tell you he's one of the greatest guys you'll ever talk to. Now, he's as wicked and vile as they come, but he's a likable person. Guess what? Deceivers are likable. Many deceivers, and we live in a generation, I must touch this, and I will touch it very carefully, parents. But many deceivers will try to shower you with gifts to distract you from the truth. I'm going to make a statement here. There are many people in this room that come from divorce situations. And often the person that did the forsaking tries to shower gifts on the forsaken. They try to buy your affection in an effort to talk down the one that they left. Everybody doing okay? If a dad leaves a mom and a child or two or three or four, usually later, that dad tries to buy back the affection of the children to talk down mom. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay, it happens both directions.
Yes, sir.
Young people, listen to me. Young man, you want to date that pretty girl when you get college age? Ask her opinion of her parents. Watch how she talks about her mom and her dad. She'll talk bad about her mom and dad to you behind their back. Guess what she's doing behind yours?
Yes, sir.
Hey, young lady, ask him how what he thinks of his mama. Because how he treats his mama is how he's going to treat you. And by the way, I'm going to make this statement too. Be careful how you talk about your wayward children.
Amen.
Some of you are going to cause your children to never come back because of the way you talk about them. And even to them sometimes. I did not say you condone what they do, but they better know you love them.
Amen.
I got to hurry. Number three. A deceiver puts pressure on people to obligate them to do what they want them to do. Leviticus 6 verse 2 says, "If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him, keep or in fellowship or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor." I don't have time to develop the whole verse there, but if you'll listen to me, Saul pressured the witch to do what he wanted done. She really did not want to do it, but he pressured her to do it. People that pressure you to do things against what you know is right to do, those are deceivers. Young people, listen to me, listen to me. When they say, "Well, I'm going to tell on you if you don't do this," and they're asking you to do something wrong, they're a deceiver. Let them tell on you. Let them tell on you. Nobody's going to like you if you don't do this. Then go through life with nobody liking you. But may I tell you, the right people will like you. I won't be your friend if you don't do this. Then go through life without that person being your friend.
Amen.
You don't need a friend like that anyway. By the way, adults, that's good for you too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'll just never talk to you again. Well, you'll be better off.
Amen.
I'll just get so-and-so to do it, so just never mind. Well, good. Let so-and-so do it because I'm not going to.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? People that will put that kind of pressure on you are deceivers. They are trying to get you to do wrong by pressuring you to do what they want you to do. And may I say this, don't pressure people to do what you want them to do, just ask them to obey. Do you know I don't force the gospel on anybody? You know, I know enough about this Bible, I could confuse anybody. I don't care what religion they come from. But you know, I don't debate the Bible with anybody. I ask them one simple question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that this is the Word of God? Do you believe that God cannot lie? If they say no to any of that, I'll work one more chance at trying to get them to believe that. But if they don't believe that, they can't even get saved.
Right.
Why stand there and argue with them? Jesus said, "Shake the dust off your shoes and go to the next one." I don't argue with anybody. I don't force the gospel on anybody. I find when things are forced on somebody, they only do it to get you off their back anyway. Do you know, I don't force anybody to go soul winning. I have never come to you and said, "Look, you have to be at soul winning Saturday, 10 o'clock, or I'm coming to get you." Say why? Because that's not the way God said do it.
Amen.
Now, I wished I could sometimes. Say why? Because it would change your life. You would find an enrichment in your life by helping somebody other than yourself. I'm not saying just because you don't go out on Saturdays that you're a dirty, filthy, wicked, rotten, selfish person. But are you telling somebody about Jesus Christ? Do you know I don't hold a gun to anybody's head making them tithe? Oh, you're just a money-grabbing preacher. No, I'm not. But God blesses the finances of this church out of the obedience of his people. I am probably the world's worst at raising money for our church, but God somehow blesses it anyway. Say what? I get up and I say, it's time for you to be obedient, time for you to be faithful. God will be faithful whether you are or not. I've never come to you and said, oh, folks, we didn't meet budget. Oh, we've got to have help. We're going to pass the plates extra again today. Oh, no. That's God's job. And by the way, we're above budget all the time with no pressure. Everybody doing all right? You know, I don't force you to go to church. I've never come to your house and forced you to go to church. Not once. Now, there's times you've missed here or there, and I've either called or had somebody call on you or different things like that just to make sure you're doing okay. That's about as far as it's gone. I have never forced anyone to go to church. That's called kidnapping. I think it's wrong. You know, if you're going to pick a minor up, we've got a form for you to sign so that you're not held legally responsible for anything that takes place and that you have legal responsibility that's on your side. I think that's a wise thing to do. Boy, that's good stuff. I learned a long time ago, people forced to do anything usually feel deceived and used.
Yes.
Lastly, and I want you to listen. I've only got about 3 or 4 minutes and I'll be done. Deceiving yourself is the easiest person to deceive.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Well, that's good. You know, the Bible is so clear on this. Deceiving yourself. The Bible says in James 1:22, listen to this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You may think because you have done things in the past as a Christian that you're a good Christian now, but you have deceived yourself. Just because you did something before doesn't mean you still are doing it now. Everybody doing all right? Some of you have deceived yourself into thinking you're more spiritual than you really are. Well, I have a college degree. I went to Bible college. I know lots of preachers that aren't right with God that are standing in their pulpits this morning. They have deceived themselves and deceived their own people into thinking that they're more spiritual than they are. You may have taught Sunday school before. But you need to be in Sunday school, listen to somebody else teach you the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? I have sat under people to where I don't mean this the wrong way. I honestly think I may know a little bit more Bible than they know. But guess what? I'll still sit there. Do you know who my Sunday school teacher is? Brother Gus Collin.
Amen.
You're the pastor of the church. You're right. And I need somebody to teach me as well. Do you know that every week I sit in his Sunday school class and I learn something from Brother Collin? Say why? Because he studies. He works at it. He begs God for it. And may I say this, there's something for me to learn. I don't know it all. Let me just go ahead and say this and get it out in the open. You'd rather follow the man of God of your choice than to follow God yourself. Just because somebody was right 20 years ago doesn't mean they're right now. I find it sad that Saul went to this witch to call up Samuel, not to call up God himself. I loved Brother Hiles. He's been dead for 13 years. Can I tell you something? I told my wife this week. I said, I had a dream about Brother Hiles. I haven't dreamed about Brother Hiles in a long time. I dreamed I was sitting down in his office with my wife, with my daughter, and him. And he asked me a question about something that was happening in these days. And he said, Craig, what do you think it is? I said, I think it's an administrative problem. And my wife grabbed me and said, you shouldn't have said that to Brother Hiles. I mean, she was shaking me. Stop. I said, he needs to hear it. And he said, it's okay, Debbie. It's okay. He said, are you right? I need to hear it. I say, you did that? Yeah, I had a dream about it. By the way, the administrative problem was his. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean that I believe that Brother Hiles came back and talked to me in a dream. That's called too much pizza before I went to bed. Or too many Twizzlers. No, it wasn't the Skittles. You know, if I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, you'll live so much in the past that you won't live the present. You know, I cannot go back to the days of Brother Hiles and live those days. I must take what I got from him, apply it now, and go forward. Do you know that the easiest person in the world to tell you that your wrong is right is you? Look how many times you try to justify the wrong that you do. Hey, how many times have you been on that website knowing you shouldn't be there, but it's okay for you and just not somebody else? Hello. I gotta quit. Let me use God's words to quit. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, one thing's for sure, you can't stop sowing and reaping. You might be able to convince yourself it's not wrong. But may I say this, you're not going to stop the sowing and reaping process.
Yes, sir.
I had a little bit of time yesterday. I got out in my garden. Turned over about half my garden, planted some lettuce and spinach and some peas. Say, but they say it's going to snow. It's okay, they can handle it. Guess what? Where I planted my spinach, I'm not going to get corn. Where I planted peas, I'm not going to get okra. Where I planted lettuce, I'm not going to get cabbage. Now, I marked the rows so that as it's coming up, I know what to look for. Say why? Because I do too many things. I'll forget where it's at. I got to mark where it's at so don't step on it. But may I say this? What I reaped, I will sow. Or sowed, I will reap. Got that backwards. You don't sow bad and get good. You don't sow sin and get righteousness. Can I tell you something? Jesus was planted for you, and he resurrected for you. He sowed righteousness and resurrected for you so that you could have the righteousness. Quit deceiving yourself. You're the easiest person in the world to deceive by yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Bush, I'm not going to lie to you, but if I die today, I know 100% sure that I would go to heaven when I die. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Someone else. God bless you. I wonder, have you been deceived? Or have you been the deceiver? Parents, don't be fooled. Your kids will try to deceive you. You know, you don't have to teach anybody to be a deceiver. It comes naturally. It comes naturally. Who'd say, Brother Bush, tucked in that truth somewhere was something that I needed for my life personally. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Virtually every hand in the room has gone up. In a moment, I'll ask us to stand to our feet. I'll ask the music to begin to play. And when we do, I want you to come to this altar and use it as God wants you to. If you raised your hand saying you're not for sure you're going to heaven, you come, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven.